This morning, our service will follow somewhat of a different format because today's service is taking place in honor of Leonard Lyons, who departed from us this past week. And so we thought, Mark and I thought, that it would be good to recognize him and to talk about two things regarding Leonard. That is, life in the church and in the future for the Christian. So I'm going to give the first short sermon about life in the church. And then we'll sing some more and so forth. And then Mark will come and give the second half about life in the future for the Christian. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we come together today to consider your word and what it says to us, at least in some places, about our life with you in this world and the fellowship of your church and the life to come at the return of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And so, Lord, guide and bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When a person comes to Christ, he comes also into the fellowship of the church, in particular the local church. The Holy Spirit joins him or her to Christ and also to the body of believers. We read, for example, in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit. That is, there's one church and one spirit who inhabits the people of God. All of us come to the church with all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of experience with sin. But we all come by the Spirit's initiative and the Spirit's calling.
Amen.
From the moment of regeneration, that is that crucial individual and personal moment when the Holy Spirit moves us out of death into life, we are forever changed. We belong to and are united to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are his child, his sheep, and his bride. We no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to him. We've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. As the old gospel hymn says, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." Amen. But belonging to Jesus, as tremendous as that is not the whole story. We also belong to the church, to God's people. And that's why, as a new Christian, we need to immediately find and unite ourselves with a local church. Otherwise, we're like a fish out of water or a traveler without a compass, wandering in the desert without water. We've got to find a body of believers and join ourselves to them, because the members of the body cannot exist by themselves. A hand or a foot cannot be out there in the world and survive without being joined to the body. As Christians, we have been joined to Christ's family. And so we need to find a church family and take our place, so to speak, at the table. My voice alone cannot be the lone voice praising God for his mercies. I must join with other voices, with other people who love Jesus, so we can rejoice together in him, so that we can hear his word together, so we can grow together, so we can support one another. A man named Leonard Lyons lived in this neighborhood, a back street, an inner Dallas called Annex. He lived in some apartments that are inhabited by a lot of immigrants, and he came to our church, and he stayed, and he was baptized. And he went through the doctrine class and he became a member, and he found a spiritual home and a family of God to belong to. God, in His sovereign mercy, brought Leonard to this church so that Leonard could experience God's love and truth in the midst of a local church, a place where he was loved, and where he could serve, and where he could worship Jesus Christ. Leonard, who passed from this life this past week, a few days ago, loved this church, and he cared about it. He cared for its people. When one person was sick or absent, he was concerned. In his very own neighborhood, here in the middle of Dallas, Texas, the grace of God came to Leonard through the ministry of this church. And besides the Lord Himself, it was the greatest thing that had ever happened to him. Our church, with its various emphases, was exactly what Leonard needed. Amen. If for no other reason, God placed this church gathering place here on this corner to bless Leonard in ways he could not have imagined. Leonard came from a rough background. He had many hardships. He suffered a lot from people's mistreatment of him, their rejection of him. And he found in the church love and acceptance and a solid form of Christianity centered and based on the Word of God. I want us to consider a few aspects of what it meant to Leonard to be a Christian. More specifically, what it meant to Leonard to be a Christian and live out his life in the fellowship of the church. First of all, this church that he began coming to is a church centered on the Word of God. Leonard's life in the church was lived out in a fellowship centered on the Word of God. Acts 2:42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." Leonard liked our church because we teach and preach the Bible. He found a church where men don't just preach themselves, but they preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He found a church where worship is guided and directed by the Word of God. He found a church whose services are full of biblical content. He found a church where he was taught the Bible. All the leaders of the church had spent time with Leonard, reading and discussing the Bible with him. Wayne used to meet with him before the morning service. When he was in the rehabilitation hospital a few months ago, every time I'd visit him, we'd go to the next chapter in Matthew, and I would read it to him. And then when he got out, Mark continued to meet with him once a week to read the Bible with Leonard. Through reading the Bible, Leonard gained confidence in his own ability to read. And he would be regularly called upon to read in the service. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." We usually chose a short passage for Leonard because he got a little nervous if it got too long. And so he was called upon to read and to contribute with his own voice, his own mind, to the worship of God's people. Life in the church is centered on the Word of God for every Christian. And secondly, for every Christian, including Leonard, life in the church is a place of full acceptance of one another. Ephesians 3, verses 27 and following says, "For as many as you were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave or free. There's no male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." This church was founded upon the principle of an integrated heterogeneous church, a church where everybody from every background, race, language, culture, economic, educational level is welcomed with open arms. 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Those of us who were here before Leonard came had experienced fellowship with the living God through Christ, and we proclaimed to him the gospel and invited him to have fellowship with us, and he took us up on the invitation. Thirdly, life in the church is a fellowship of genuine love. Yes. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Leonard found a love among the members of our church based on the love of Christ. A love that really cared for him as a person and for his well-being. And he saw that. He understood that. He could see. He could experience genuine love for him. And it's exactly what he needed. Amen. God really ministered to Leonard through the love of this church. And fourthly, life in the church is a sharing of our lives with one another. It says in Acts 2:46, "Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." In our church, we spend time with one another. Outside the meetings, we eat together. We visit. We have one another in our homes. And Leonard experienced this opening up of our homes and our lives to him. And fifthly, life in the church is a place where gifts, spiritual gifts, are shared for the good of all. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8 says, the apostle writes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so though many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Leonard contributed much to the ministry of this local church. He was the first to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, to unlock the door for any visitors that may come. He would set up the sound system and take it down. He would pass out the hymnals and, along with others, take them up. Often he would lock up the building at night for us. These were not difficult tasks, but they were essential tasks for the ministry of the church. Once he told Wayne that he really wanted to serve the Lord. And this gave him the opportunity to do that. To do something important for the overall ministry of the church. Psalm 84:10 says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." This is true of Leonard. He was our doorkeeper. And I assure you, he would much rather be here than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. In this church, Leonard found a group of people, not perfect people, but people whose lives had also been touched by the grace and love of God. people who are trying to follow the model of Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to live and to serve and to give his life for the redemption of his people. I'm absolutely convinced that God saved Leonard and brought him to this church so he could experience the love of Christ through this church, so he could be embraced by Christ and his people. Through this church, he learned of the genuine love of Christ and his people for him. He grew and experienced the joy and the peace of the Lord. He was educated in the scriptures. He served a vital part in the church's worship services. He loved the music here. He was a man of music. And so that's just one of the many ways this church fit him so well, because he loved our music, our hymns. I love to watch him sing. And when the Word of God reached into his mind and heart, he had a smile on his face. And you could tell he was happy. He was happy in God.
Amen.
Well, there's a big hole in our fellowship now. His chair in the back of the room is empty. When he occasionally got sick, was not with us, oh, how I missed him. On those occasions. And now that missing is going to be prolonged. But I'm thankful for the grace of God shown and experienced, shown to Leonard and experienced by him through our church. The last 10 or 12 years of his life, he experienced life in the church here. These were years that gave him contentment and a sense of belonging and love and happiness. But that's not the end of the story. There's a glorious future for Leonard and for all of us who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark will be telling us about that in the next sermon. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that in your great wisdom and your love as a shepherd of your people, you not only save us, but you bring us into the fellowship of your church. We're thankful, Lord, for this precious friend and brother Leonard, and for the vital part he played in our church and the great blessing it was to our lives. We give you thanks that we were able to spend the last 10 years in the life of the church with him. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll take your worship guide, and we have a Heidelberg Catechism, question 55. I invite you to stand. I'll read the question and together we'll read the answer. What do you understand by the communion of saints?
First, that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts.
Second, that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and joyfully for the service and enrichment of the other members.